I'm going to talk a little bit less about the details of copyright and a little bit more about questions about business model. Because frankly, the discussion about open access and copyright is really a discussion about business model and the transition from one type of business model to the other. So that's really the focus of the discussion. Here's a bit of the looking backwards and the traditional notion of publishing and rights. As Michael said, of course, rights emanate with the authors or the creators or possibly the employers of the authors or the creators. In the traditional business model, if you want to sell subscriptions, pay-per-view, if you want to create abstracting services of one kind or another or authorize others to do so, then you're going to need the rights to do that. And in the traditional model, it's helpful to have exclusive rights. You want your journal to be the journal that people want to go to in order to get agreements to incorporate abstracts into their services. So you need the rights to be able to do that. Again, this is all about business model. And it's the Journal Publishing Agreement, the JPA, at least that's how we refer to it within Elsevier, which is basically the contract or the agreement between the author or authors, and in some cases employers of authors, and the journal, which addresses this question about the flow of rights. Because this is really dealing with the question of rights in, the management of those rights, and then rights out. By rights out, I essentially mean sales and services related to sales. Of course, the JPA doesn't just deal with the question of rights. It also has author warranties, and a lot of that has to do with publishing ethics, as you all will know quite well. Affirmation of originality, discussion about proper citation, those kinds of ethics issues, which can become a challenge, are often addressed in JPAs as well. So one of the things that I think people sometimes think about publishing and copyright in an incorrect way is that I've had discussions with people, fellow publishers, about whether copyright is a black or white issue, black and white issue. It's either you have rights, you don't have rights. I think that the reality is in the scholarly and academic publishing community, there's always been a concern about the appropriate balance in this rights management portfolio. Rights need to be managed appropriately depending on the business model and the commercial sustainability requirements, both for for-profit and for nonprofit organizations. I'd suggest that publishing houses and journals really need to think about what exactly are the scope of rights that are required for the business model. And as we know, open access, particularly gold, does change a lot about the business model and I think suggests that we should look at these issues anew. In terms of the gray issues that I think scholarly publishing has always dealt with, I think we've always understood that we are publishing in an odd environment. It's not about trade or commercial book publishing. It's dealing with the research output of researchers who are sometimes inclined, certainly to share and to discuss, to talk about their work with others, to go to conferences, to share early drafts. We all know that there's a fair amount of posting on preprint servers, for example, and has been for a long time. So the reality is in terms of moderating and finding that balance of rights, I'd also suggest that most journals have for a long time, well before the current debate about open access, tried to figure out what is the balance in terms of academic and researcher use, and what do we need, for the business model going forward. I think we've always understood that authors are going to teach, and we want them to use their work on that teaching. There's a fair amount of self-posting that's been out there for some time, as mentioned, which is sometimes referred to as green open access. There's preprint servers, institutional mandates, and now social networks is a coming thing, which has been a bit controversial for Elsevier, as some of you may know, with respect to our Mendeley social network site. So I'd suggest that some of this question about rebalancing and looking at the rights balance is not actually new. It's been there for a long time, I think, in our community. The one thing that I throw in here, which is a question about the scope of exclusivity that might be required for some business models is that there are limitations in some countries with respect to the adaptation of works in new technologies, which might require copyright transfer or the right to commercially exploit the copyright in some countries. So that's an issue which also has traditionally factored into this balancing equation. So open access and gold. With funders and employing institutions and, in many cases, authors directly, providing direct support for open access, the business model for many journals has changed. Many journals, of course, are published exclusively using a gold open access author pays model. Some are engaged in sort of hybrid models, which we'll talk about briefly later on. In any event, that's a big change in the business model. And the notion that there's immediate online access to those funded articles definitely has implications for the rights models. I think journal publishing agreements have been revised, and if they haven't, they need to be revised to focus on, first of all, this key fundamental question of exactly what rights are required in this new model, but also to include information about funder identification. So we had a great presentation on ORCID, which also talked about FundRef. That's going to be an issue that has to be dealt with in the publishing submission process and could be addressed in the journal publishing agreement, could be addressed in other ways as well. And then we have the question about the user license choice. And as we have just heard about, of course, CC-BY is a very frequent mandate by Wellcome Trust and many other organizations and is widely deployed by many publishing houses, including several in the room here. Now I'm going to go back a little bit. So the recent announcements, I would say, over the past couple of years by Wellcome Trust and others were not the earliest form of some type of open access. Many journals have facilitated access to their content typically after an embargo period expires, so maybe it has more to do with green OA than gold OA. So BMC has been out there for some time. A number of societies have made their content accessible as well. Cell Press and Elsevier Imprint has done the same. And this has been happening for quite a number of years, well before recent funding agency mandates. And the user licenses that have been applied by folks involved in these early models have tended to be individually crafted, bespoke user licenses, not Creative Commons licenses. In addition to that, we all know that repositories are posting a lot of content as well. And it's not clear to me, I've looked at a couple of repositories recently, it's not always clear to me that repositories are using clearly identified user license language either, and often not using Creative Commons licenses, for example. So that's the environment that we are in this transition, and I think recognizing that that transition has been happening for some time. Now, currently, the funding agencies, such as Wellcome Trust, are clearly connecting OA funding with the specified user license form, CC-BY. And as I mentioned, many publishers are accepting that there is a benefit in a sort of one license to be used for a lot of content. And journals do recognize that they must move to user licenses that are clear and consistent. And I appreciate Michael's presentation about the question about the code versus the lawyer language. As a lawyer myself, I spend a lot of time on the lawyer language, and I don't particularly find the Creative Commons full license to be incredibly easy to understand or easy to apply myself. The human readable code is nice, but there's a lot of stuff behind all the definitions which I think are not very clear and not very consistent. Finally, I think as we have all heard over the past couple of years, there's been some reluctance to adopt CC-BY among some researchers and in some research communities. Sometimes the issue about commercial use comes up. If you're going to use a non-commercial license for Creative Commons. The definition of what non-commercial use is, I would say, vague, a bit hard to understand. And there are many medical societies, medical organizations in particular, not just medical ones, but I think those are the ones that really come to mind, which have a significant concern about the idea of associating advertising or pharma sponsorship with medical content. And I think that's a legitimate concern that they have. So I still think publishing is still publishing. So no matter the business model, the journal, and I would say also the user and the author, need to understand, does the rights in model need to change? How does it need to change? And questions could come up about copyright transfer versus license, for example. And then are there other issues to address in the journal publishing agreement? I think there are. We've talked about those briefly before. And then the question of who is managing the rights out issue. In an open access environment, all that information is really online and is associated with the individual article. It's not in subscription agreements or in other types of arrangements. We have to keep in mind that CC BY is that any use, it is the most widespread amount of use that can be contemplated. And there are notions there that it should be done with attribution and that it should not be done in a distortive manner. I don't remember, Michael, quite the exact phrasing there, but it's something like that. And that's helpful, that's important, but I think some researchers and some authors, some publishers, are concerned that there may be ways to do the attribution, but to suggest that the research actually supports a proposition which is not entirely clear. CC BY, by the way, also means that the journal and other publishing houses can make commercial use of that content as well, which is an interesting thing to consider, I believe. So I'll kind of conclude with some observations. It's an important transitional moment, but publishing is still a business of rights, and I think this important transitional moment requires some careful consideration about what exactly are the rights that the journal needs for the particular economic model that they're going to be using. And I mentioned hybrid journals, which are subscription journals, but where some content can be made openly accessible, which some funders feel is not exactly open access, and that's another debate, perhaps. And that's probably the most complex. There's a situation there where you have multiple business models in the same journal. Yeah, by definition, that's going to be a nightmare, I can tell you. So that's going to be tricky. It's going to be difficult to organize. But this is kind of the path, I think, that we are all collectively on. And I do think that it's really important that we learn to communicate and to communicate clearly to our authors and their employers about the rights that are needed for the journal and for the economic model, about the choices for authors or not, and what the user rights are in the content that's published under this model.